No. It's gone forever.
Yeah, apparently it's just lost to the void.
Hello and welcome to Negative Space, a podcast where art students talk about art. I'm Sam.
I'm Simone.
And today
we do not have show notes.
Oh no, you're giving the game away, Simone.
It was a cat out of the bag.
Yeah, oops. Yeah. If we are a little disorganized today, that is in fact the reason. We're just going blind.
Yeah.
Shooting blind in the dark. And we were just talking about how I had something that I was gonna say that I now just totally forgot about. I feel like it was, like, cool, too. That's why I wanted to save it for the podcast.
That's so unfortunate.
Maybe it had something to do with Dutch painters?
Maybe.
Oh, well. That's a shame.
Vermeer. Camera obscura.
God. It's right on the... Nope. Yeah, I don't remember. It's just gone forever.
Well...
Maybe it'll come up later.
Maybe. We'll just be in the middle of a different conversation, and you'll just be like, I remember it now.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We do have a top, even though we don't have a show notes page, even though we don't have show notes, we do have a topic prepared. We are hoping to talk about critique today, because that's something that has kind of been on my mind lately, and is, you know, a really prevalent part of just being an artist in general. So I think that's probably a good topic. I don't think we've covered that before.
Yep. And it's something that, you know, if you've drawn ever, you've probably faced some of it. Like, you know, sometimes people try to be nice about art, but there's always that one person that's, you know, even if you're like a 5-year-old, they're gonna have something to say. So it's relatable to everyone, I think.
Yeah. I was thinking about this because recently I was watching a... Do you know Cynthia Shepherd? She's this illustrator. She works... I think she's an art director for Wizards of the Coast, so she's an art director for Magic the Gathering. Mm, yeah. And she also does D&D stuff, so she does, like, a bunch of, like, stuff for the D&D books. And she has this really amazing YouTube channel, where she just, like, kind of paints and then does Q&A sometime. And I think she got a question in her last video that was, someone was asking her about what to do if you receive a critique from someone that you feel is unqualified to talk about your work and give you critique. and I don't know, that was really interesting to me because I've been in similar situations before where someone... kind of offers you a critique on something that you like,
it's like
you know that you know more about?
Yeah, it's like that scene in Parks and Recreation where, like, the guy comes up to him and try to help him, and Ron's just like, I know more than you.
Yeah.
You don't have to help me.
She had a really interesting response that kind of sat well with me, because she said that no critique is ever... invalid,
yeah,
like from anyone who's giving it to you, because the whole point is that they have an opinion about your art, and that's just how your art is seen. Like, other people look at it and then form their own opinion, so nobody's critique is ever invalid because that is their opinion of your art. So you should never dismiss someone's critique, even if you feel like they're coming from an unqualified place, because they still have a valid point of view. But it's more about what you decide to take and what you decide to leave. So that was just really interesting to me, because I think it happens sometimes to me too, where, like, someone will say something, and I think one of the hardest parts about being critiqued is the feeling of being defensive. Like, do you ever get that?
No, not really, actually. I think I take critiques pretty well, and I'm happy about that. Like, I don't have a hard time with it. Mm-hmm. So I just got lucky, though. I'm just, like, you know, pre-tempered to be that way. But I can see how, you know, you could get defensive about it. Like, that absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, I think another thing that she talked about in the video is the context in which you're critiqued. Like, if you're in like a class and you put your work on the wall and the teacher's going around, then obviously you are prepared to receive critique because that is what the situation is, mm-hmm. you know? Whereas if someone is just like, oh, hey, like, can I see your art? And you show it to them and suddenly they like start going all out on you, you're like, wow, I wasn't prepared for this.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't the context of the environment that I was in. And that makes a big difference in how it makes me feel, I think. When I'm in class, it's very easy to take critique because you know that it's coming and you know that that is the point of whatever situation that you're in, is that you do work and then the teacher or your classmates will critique it.
Yeah.
And then in that environment, it's very easy to have an open mind and listen, take notes, you know, and have all of that in mind. But like when someone just like you didn't expect to be in the situation where someone was going to be giving you a critique, you're suddenly kind of like, oh, you're really caught off guard. And in those kinds of situations, it's a lot easier to become kind of defensive about your work.
Yeah, that's true. And I also, like, I feel like a lot of the times when it comes to having your work, like, critiqued in, like, a professional, maybe not professional, but, like, an official critiquing setting, you also kind of, you know, go in thinking about it and, like, kind of almost being aware of what people are going to say in the first place. Like, you know, a lot of the times, if you, like, you know, think about this stuff a lot, you know what to expect when what people are going to say. Like, you know, a lot of the times when I get a critique and somebody makes a comment, I'll just think, yeah, I was thinking that too. It's not very often where I get, you know, something that, you know, I was totally not expecting for somebody to say. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's that aspect of it too, of, like, kind of premeditating what you're going to expect from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to say again that I, like, totally agree with, like, forgot, like, the artist that works on Wizard of the Coast, I totally agree with her mm-hmm. opinion. Like, it absolutely makes sense. Like, it doesn't make a difference whether they're an artist or not, because if they're going to be looking at your work, they're still going to form an opinion no matter, you know, what you do.
And yeah, it's not, you don't create art only for other artists.
Yes.
You know, like, you can't expect that everyone who's going to look at your art is going to be educated about the same kinds of things that you are, so you can't just dismiss people's opinion because they don't know the things that you know. Like, it has to read in any situation.
Yeah. And you know, like, people have, like, an intrinsic understanding a lot of the times of, like, what makes an art piece good or bad, so I don't think that, you know, that invalidates it either.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, some people have, like, more technical know-how and some people don't.
Yeah, it's like, I've started really trying to, like, be very conscious of my attitude when I take critique now, because one thing that I notice since I've started being a TA is how other people respond to when I give a critique to them. Like, before, when I was kind of just in the class, you just, like, you are really focused on, like, what other people are saying about your work and stuff, and you don't really pay that much attention to other people's as much. But when you're a TA and you have to tell you have to, like, give critiques to people's homework, it's like you really notice the way they respond and what really makes you feel I don't know, like, feel the best about their attitude. And I've been noticing that kind of stuff and trying to apply it to myself more.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I've had people this actually wasn't in a class that I was taking for. It was a class that I was just in. But this girl in my class, we were critiquing our midterms, and she was, like, she was so aggressive about defending her work when it was not necessary to be.
Yeah.
Like, our teacher was just telling her, like, hey, this doesn't look very realistic. Did you take any reference photos? And she, like, went on this, like, kind of defensive rant about how, like, she couldn't find a reference photo that was the correct angle, and, like, how, what was she supposed to do, like find someone with their head chopped off, yada yada. And it's like
yeah,
you don't, like, whether or not you defend yourself doesn't change what's on the wall.
Exactly.
Like, your
yeah.
It you know, it leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth when you do that, you know, like, try and argue with the teacher about what you think is and isn't right.
Yeah.
Or, like, try and make excuses, or, like, that's the thing that I sometimes find myself doing a lot, is, like, you want the teacher to think that you did your best. So when they make some sort of critique, you want to defend yourself in some way and say, oh, like, no, I thought about that, but there were some extenuating circumstances that made it so that I couldn't apply what you're saying. Because you, not that you, like, want the work to be, like, changed, but that you want people to know that you put effort into it.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, that's, like, the gut reaction that you have. But the more I notice the people that I kind of admire when they take critique, like, the thing they do, honestly, all the time, you just say, you just, you know, you ask polite questions, you thank them, you don't react, really, mm-hmm. you know? You take their advice, and then you make note of it. 'Cause I think the other thing in the video that Cynthia Shepherd said that I really liked was that when you take critique, you should always wait before responding. Like, your gut response is often going to be not the best one.
Yeah.
So you should always at least think about it, like, wait on it. Let yourself process it from something that's not just an emotional standpoint before you make any kind of response.
Yeah, and that's a very intelligent way to go about it, you know, and it makes... I feel like it makes everyone, you know, feel, I guess, less uncomfortable with how you respond. Because if you respond right off the bat with defending, they feel like, you know, like they might have done something wrong. Which, more often than not, like, you know, it's not the case unless they're, like, doing, like, something weird. Like, being, like, an asshole or something. But, you know, yeah. Generally that's not the case. So... you know, the way that you respond, I think you also have to think about, you know, how other people will interpret what you're saying other than, you know, just explaining away, like, why you did something or not.
Yeah, I've taken more and more notice of how people respond to critiques in class and what about it makes a good or bad response. And I'm really, like, trying to think about that and implement it in my life. Because not just from class, too, but because I've really reached a point where I have a group of friends from school and, you know, we send each other work a lot of the time and you get feedback from your peers, like, just kind of in a friend group.
Yeah.
And I think you have to really, when you're in that kind of situation, you have to very carefully make a distinction between what you're asking from them in as a friend, because sometimes you're just, like, casually, it goes back to, like, the context of what you're communicating to them in, yeah. Right? Like, if you're just, like, you know, you guys are just, like, hanging out and you're like, oh, check out what I'm working on, that's like, oh, you know, you're not expecting them to,
you're not,
like,
expecting for them to go off on your artwork, right? Just, like, yeah. You know, because I run into a situation kind of similar to this a lot where, like, I'll send artwork and I'm not necessarily, like, I'm not always looking for critiques. Sometimes I'm just, like, looking to, like, send it to someone just to, like, have it out there. Like, I don't exactly know what I'm trying to do. I just, like, want to get rid of my art, like, from within my own brain. So, you know, I'll do that sometimes. And, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm averse to critique, but it's just kind of a way of, like, you know, feeling like I've had someone see it without having to, like, post it in, like, a official setting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of ways in which you can take it, and but it is really valuable also to ask for an actual critique on those things as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, it's all about context, right?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you want people to really, it's like, I'm working on this composition and I really want someone to help me figure out if it reads correctly or if these figures are, like, in the right pose. So you can say, you know, if you have friends that you trust, you say, hey, like, what do you think about this? Like, there's keywords there, right? Like, what do you think? Hey, should I change? Like, could you look at this? Like, those are kinds of the signals that you give other people that you're looking for a critique from them.
Yes.
As opposed to, hey, check out what I'm working on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
There's a difference because you really, the context of it changes how you prepare yourself mentally for what they're going to say. Like, if I'm just like, oh, hey, check this out. And they're like, oh, you know, like, hey, the perspective's wrong. Maybe fix the composition. Like, the value grouping's not right. And you're like, oh, okay. Oops. Like, I, okay.
Didn't know that was going to happen to me.
Yeah, and you feel, it's like kind of, you feel like just a little bit like confused and like, oh, I guess. Yeah. It just feels like they're being unnecessarily harsh when you just kind of wanted to share something.
Yeah.
But when you are like, but it's totally different when you say, hey, like, could you help me with this?
Or like, I need advice on how to do this.
Yeah, exactly. The context is totally different. And then you're like 100% like willing to take whatever they say into consideration because you've prepared yourself for that situation.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. Like what I had mentioned, like waiting a second before you respond, like I'm always thinking about that. Like,
yeah.
Someone sends me a critique and there's always like a little bit of a gut, like, oh, like kind of defend yourself, like, oh no, the assignment wasn't bad, or like, you know, oh, I can't do that because,
yeah,
you just like kind of, you sit on it for a second and think, like, do I really have to say that? Mm-hmm. Is it helpful for them?
Yes.
To know this, like, will it change the critique? Because sometimes it does, like sometimes they say, hey, why don't you do this, and you can't because, you know, either that changes the piece completely, or mm-hmm. like they missed something about it, or the context of the assignment is different, and you can say, oh, hey, actually, you know, I can't do that because, and then they can help you in a different way, you
yeah.
know, they can offer a different kind of critique. But when you're just like, you have to really decide, like, am I just being defensive, or is this comment that I'm about to give them, is it really going to help them critique this piece in a different way?
Yes.
Yeah. That's just all stuff to think about, mm-hmm. I think, when you're getting a critique.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, sometimes it's difficult when you have friends who also are your, like, art friends.
Yeah, they're, like, your peers, you know?
Yeah. And when you ask them for help with your work, you have to draw a line sometimes, I think, between what is like your friendship and what is your kind of professional relationship, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like sometimes you just want your friends to like tell you, hey, like, you're doing great, like, don't worry about it, this is fine, you're doing fantastic.
Yeah.
And sometimes you really just want them to like really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. And you know, giving off and reading those social cues is like, you know, something that, I mean, it's not difficult, but it's something that you have to consciously do, or, like, you know, and it comes back to, like, that point about, like, mindfulness, mm-hmm. when it comes to responding to critiques. Like, that goes, you know, that's the case in general for when you're communicating with people, you know, on, like, whether, you know, this thing that I want to say is necessary, or whether it's going to help other people, or, like, help this, like, you know, understanding between us. Like, you know, it's valuable in art critique, but it also, you know, goes for other social situations. And I think that it can be expanded to, like, be relevant in those spaces, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever had any experiences with, like, people who, like, critique your work online? Or, like, kind of, like, say stuff about your work online? Like, people who are strangers?
No, not really. I just get compliments.
Yeah, I think
that that's...
I think that tends.
I think that that's how online communities tend to work instead anyways, though. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people tend to not be super critical, like, especially if you're doing something like, say, fan art. Like, people aren't going to, like, be judgmental about it. Like, they're just going to be like, hey, look at this, it's great. Or they're going to ignore it, you know. It's going to be one of two. It's not going to be that middle.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a distinctly, like, kind of different experience than being in, like, a specifically, like, art-concentrated medium forum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was one thing that I found kind of funny that happened in recent news. Did you hear about Terry Goodkind? He's an author.
No.
Okay, so this hilarious thing happened. Well, it's not that funny. But it made waves kind of in the online, like, artist community, I think, because what happened was this author named Terry Goodkind, who's a fantasy novelist, he, like, published, he got the second book published, and the publishers hired this artist to do the cover for his book, and he really didn't like the cover, because he felt like it didn't portray the characters well. But what he did is he went on Facebook and made this kind of, like, glib, inflammatory post about how bad the cover was, and like put this like Facebook poll up that was like, oh, do you think it's good or like really good or like just laughably bad? And like, you know, if you voted, then you could enter to get a free copy of the book or something. Oh my
God, that's evil.
Yeah,
that's evil.
So there was a lot of controversy around this because most people were like, that's really a unprofessional kind of dick move on his part, right?
Yeah.
And the artist actually like responded on his Facebook post to like, oh wow, that's like really unprofessional. I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Yeah.
But the thing was like he had just made this post, was like, oh, this cover's so bad, ha ha ha. And then he like backpedaled later on and like said, oh, well, actually, you know, it's because I wanted the publishers to know that I felt like the characters weren't accurately portrayed in the cover. Like, it was trying to encourage publishers to pay more attention to, like, how characters are depicted in the book versus how they appear in the artwork, like, yada yada. Like, you know, he's trying to, like, backpedal himself out of this, like, situation that he got himself into.
Yeah.
But it sparked a whole, you know, like, a riot online. Like a debacle. Oh, yeah. And all of the blog that I follow, the kind of fantasy illustration blog that I follow, mm-hmm. called Muddy Colors, they like wrote up this whole post about being professional.
Yeah.
You know, like in the professional world, when you have to interact with people on a professional level, it's like, you know, like just keep your mouth shut. Like it doesn't.
Yeah, there's this.
It doesn't help.
There's a certain point where you just have to, like, let things go in a professional setting.
Yeah.
Like, there's some things that you just have to learn to live with, especially if they're out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. For a second, when you started talking about an author, I thought you were going to talk about how Hans Christian Andersen, like, lying face down in Charles Dickens' garden.
No,
crying after a bad review. Oh my God, it's so funny. Like, apparently,
please tell.
Apparently, after like a particularly bad review of one of his pieces of writing, I don't even know what it was. Like, Hans Christian Andersen was like overstaying his welcome in Charles Dickens' house, and like he was like lying face down in the dirt in his garden and like crying, and Charles Dickens is just like annoyed.
Oh my God.
So
I've never heard about
it. I thought it was going to be something like that, but it wasn't.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really funny. That's pretty funny.
He was apparently not very good at taking bad criticism.
I can tell. I'd hate to be that person, you know? It's like, sometimes you, like, think that you take things well, and then you think back on what you said, and you're like, oh, like, I shouldn't have said that. I should have just, like, been professional about it and said nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. Even if you disagree with something that someone says, like, you can't, the best course of action is never to say, oh, like, oh, that sucks, like, you don't, you're wrong, you know?
Yeah.
That's never the right way to go. The best way to go almost always is to just like keep your mouth shut. And if you don't agree with what they said, you feel like their critique doesn't apply to you, like it's not relevant to the work, just ignore it. Like there's no reason for you to be loud and up in arms about it.
Yeah. I had a particularly tough critiquing experience my last semester when I was with this really, you know, like hardcore professor. And you know, I thought it was a good experience. Like, I really liked that class, but a lot of people walked out of it saying, oh, I'm so glad that I'm never going to be in this class again. And I was just like, you know, I thought that the way that he, you know, gave critiques was a little bit, like, harsher and, like, more personally, like, vindictive than they needed to be sometimes. But he did have, like, a lot of, like, really, you know, like, correct, you know, points to make about, like, and, like, you know, informed and intelligent points about, like, you know, what was wrong with the piece. So, you know, I just, in that situation, I realized what I ended up doing most of the time was just, you know, because, like, you just saying, like, something about your work, like, trying to, like, defend it isn't really going to change, like, how they initially saw it.
Exactly.
Like they still saw it the way that they did, so I tended to just be like, all right, I understand, unless there was, like, a severe misunderstanding. I didn't I tended to try to not, like, really try to get up in arms too much about it, especially if I knew that what I did was, like, bad, even if I had an excuse. Like, if I messed up, that was just, you know...
Then you messed up.
Then I messed up. And that's, like, something that's, like, you know, behind the wall between, like, what was presented and what went through making that piece of art. So it's not relevant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have teachers who kind of... They would say, you know, like, if doesn't matter what happened to make this piece of art, like, what matters is the final result. Like, yeah. If you have the teacher that I had last term, Cliff Nielsen, who it's the same crit from that one girl who's like trying to defend herself about her reference. Yeah. He was like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what you went through to finish this piece. All your client is going to care about is whether or not it's done, whether or not it's on time, and whether or not it's good. Like, they don't give a single damn about what you had to go through in order to make this piece happen. Like, sometimes it's really easy and sometimes it's really, really hard, but it doesn't matter. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
Because that's not their job. Their job is not to care about how hard it was for you to get this piece done, you know? All they want is the art.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, I've been, like, you know, I've, like, followed, like, a couple of, like, younger artists who, like, aren't really used to the critique, like, model. So seeing them, like, talk about how upsetting it was for them to have, like, their artwork being critiqued and how they, like, just don't... Like, if you don't want your artwork to be critiqued, then you shouldn't be studying it professionally, because that's, like, a necessary and, like, unavoidable part of what it is to be an artist. Like, it's just going to happen. So you either have to, like, learn to live with it and, like, you know, be able to not let those comments hurt you personally, or you can't do art. Because if you can't handle it, then, you know, there's nothing that you can do, because it's going to happen. So you have to, like, think about, like, your own, like, mental well-being at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to either figure out a way to change your attitude about it, or if that's just kind of how you are and there's no way around it, then, like... Maybe this is not the
this
right place
not
for you.
This might not be the right career path for you.
Exactly.
As painful as that sounds, like, it's just, you just have to, like, it's not even being like, oh, you know, if you can't handle the heat, then don't do it. It's just like, there's, it's completely unavoidable. It's just part of what the industry is. So, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that, like, I've been reading some stuff about, like, interviews for jobs in, like, the art world, too, and a lot of the things they say sometimes, like, if you're in an interview, you really want to stress, like, how important, like, how you are used to taking critique and how, like, you implement critique, kind of, like, what you learned maybe in school about critique. Like, this is, like, it's such an important part of the job, is getting feedback and then implementing feedback, that you have to show that you know how to do this. Like, you could be an amazing artist, like, you could have amazing talents, but if you're not good, if you're not a nice person to work with, and if you don't take critique well, then you are not going to be able to, like, hold down a job for very long, because people don't want to work with you because you don't take critique well.
Yeah, that's also another critical part of, like, considering an art career, is that you have to learn to work with people within that context. Like, you can't be just working for yourself, like, on your own, like, I mean, you know, some people can, but that's incredibly rare. Usually in the art industry, like, you have to be working within a team and, like, you know, work on a schedule and, like, learn to work with other people, even if they might be, you know, opposing the way that you think that things should be done.
Yeah.
It's
like, if you do, like, gallery work or something like that, like, I really understand. If you make art for yourself before, like, other people, then that's different.
Yes.
You know, you do that for yourself. But when you work in a commercial art industry where you make art for other people, then all bets are off. Like, you have to listen to what other people are going to say, because that is who the art is going to. It's to other people.
Yes. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't stop people from being critical, because that's just part of what being a person is, you know? People make arbitrary decisions on whether they like things or not, and that's just part of being an artist, is just dealing with the fact that some people are going to not like what you did.
Yeah. I think that's just part of, like, a larger scheme of having a good attitude about
life.
Like, yeah.
Just living. Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like it's most, like, critically, like, amassed within the world of art, though. Like, you never face criticism, you know, as fiercely as, you know, when it comes to critiquing your art, whether it's, you know, basically anything creative. It doesn't even have to be visual art. Like, because it's so subject, it's, you know, there's some objectivity in it, but so much of it is subjective that it makes it really difficult to do something without criticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's, like, most of the stuff I had to say about critique, honestly. Just, like watching my own attitude about stuff sometimes, because I feel like it's come up more and more often, like, the... It's, like, because it's, like, when you're in, like, foundation stuff, it's, like, oh, like, here's a drawing of a head, like, what do you... here's some hands, like, what are you going to critique about that, like, you know, other than, like, the basic stuff that it's, like, not, like, nothing's, like... Unless it's, like, incorrect, like, that's really most of what you can critique. But when you get into later stuff like composition and storytelling and painting, all of this, like, it becomes a lot more imperative for people to kind of see your to see what other people think of the work, because you can only ever look at your work through your own eyes.
Yes.
And if you've been working on it for a long time, like, you could think that something is working perfectly, but other people will look at it and realize, and you'll realize, like, oh, that doesn't read at all.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it did, but it doesn't. Yeah.
The worst thing about art is how in your head you get stuck in with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, it's genuinely completely impossible to look at your art from an outside perspective or as not yourself. So
yeah.
You just have to take, you know, you have to get other people's opinions, and you have to, like, take those opinions as they are and just understand that, like, you know, that's how some people see it.
Yeah. I think it's about, also, it's about building your own network of people that you trust in this capacity. Like, as important as it is to make sure that to understand that people who aren't artists' opinions are valid.
Yes.
Like, you also need to have your own network of people who are artists, who know what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
so that they can talk to you on the same level.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, people could tell you, like, oh, it doesn't work, I don't like it, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
That is good to know, but it's not as helpful as someone who is an artist who could say, oh, this doesn't work because, and they can help you with it. You know,
yeah.
It's different kinds of critique. Like, when you build your own network of friends, of people who are artists, who know how it works, who have similar skill sets as you, you can say, like, oh, like, can you help me, like, with, like, this pose, with this particular lighting, like, with this particular composition, like, then they can speak to you on that very, on a technical level, and help you with those kinds of things specifically.
And I think that it's also valuable having, like, a network based on the fact that they understand, you know, you as an artist and what you struggle with. Because, you know, just having other artists review it is good, but having people that, you know you and, like, know how you work and what your issues in creating art are is, you know, even more valuable, I think.
Yeah.
So...
You're totally right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this happened to me recently, too. It's like, hey, like, could you take a look at this piece? And, you know, it's someone I know who I know knows me. And they're like, you know, they know I have an issue with character posing. They're like, here's how you can make this character pose more dynamic. And you're like, yes, that's, in fact, something that I struggle with.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I wish I was in that character art class. That sounds fun.
Oh, story. We're done with characters now. We're moving on to, yeah.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
Key scenes.
I want to do it. I mean, I know it's going to kick my ass, but I want to do it.
You can totally, you know, we were discussing this earlier, like, if you want, you can totally come, like, over the summer and just kind of, like, sit in on a couple classes, because I think you'd have fun.
Yeah, I should. I need to figure out what I'm doing, because I might be traveling and stuff, but...
if you're free for, like, a week, just come come on down, you know, I'll take you into all the classes that I'm sitting in on, like, the ones I know the teacher, like, they don't give a damn if I just bring someone in and be mm-hmm. like, hey, this is my friend, we're just gonna sit here.
Yeah, I'd be totally down. I just need to figure out my schedule. I'm sure that I'll have a couple open weeks, so.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. We can go back to Norton Simon.
Yay!
You didn't get to see some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
You didn't get to see any of the cubism.
Oh, I did. I oh, you did? Yeah, I went over by myself and I checked him out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, we should go back because I didn't get to look at any of the historical stuff and I like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we should go to the Getty too if we ever get the chance.
Oh, have you been there? I don't think I have.
Oh man, you're in for a treat. The Getty is amazing.
I'm like really looking forward to that now. That sounds fun.
We'll plan that. Mm-hmm. We'll figure that out. Let's see. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about that's like art related, critique related?
Not specifically. I just had the Hans Christian Andersen anecdote on my mind, but that's gone now.
And I still haven't remembered what it was that I was trying to tell you.
Dang it.
I hope it wasn't important.
I know, right?
Oh, well. Okay, well, did you have any one cool things that you wanted to talk about? Because I might have one. If you want, I can talk while you think.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my one cool thing is not really, like, a thing in general. Like, it's not, like, an object or anything or a website, but it's like, a system that I've started to develop recently that I find really helpful, which is that I have started, this all came from a teacher of mine who used to send out references in these PDFs. He'd be like, here, so we're drawing ships this week, so here's, like, a single PDF that just has a bunch of ships in it that you can use as reference. Mm-hmm. And I started doing that for artists that I like. So I will find an artist, if, like, I see an artist that I like online, I will go to their website, I'll pull every piece of art of theirs that I can find, and I will take all the JPEGs and merge them into a single PDF. And then I can just use that PDF, like, whenever I need reference for, like, oh, like, I like how this particular artist does lighting, or, like, I have a piece that has a similar lighting or composition as this, and I can pull up that PDF and flip through it.
Oh, that's cool.
Because what I've realized is that I also keep folders that are just, like, loose JPEGs,
yeah,
you know? But the problem is it's so difficult to keep it organized mm-hmm. and also, like, pull out when you need specific images.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to just have one PDF that's a single file that has, like, multiple images in it, and then just flip through that to find what you need, as opposed to, like, sifting through, like, tons of folders that have individual JPEGs in them. Like, that is more work than I need, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the system that I've started developing. And it's funny because now that I do this, I've been kind of spreading it to my friends too. Like, hey, like, I found this new artist and here I've already made a PDF of it. So I'll just send them the PDF and then...
Oh, that's so cool. Like, you should send those to me. I want to look at those.
Yeah. Like, now we have, like, just our library of, like, just artist PDFs that we have. And, you know, it's, like, it's not stuff that isn't available online. It's, like, but sometimes it's much harder to... find stuff you need when you have to think of, like, oh, what's their name, what's that piece, and then you have to go search for it online. It's like, I know this stuff is all available online,
yeah,
but when it's on your hard drive, like, once in a while you kind of just open it up and flip through it. Sometimes it'll inspire you, sometimes, you know, you find something that you didn't realize that you were looking for. Mm-hmm. And when it's just kind of all there on your hard drive, it's much easier than, like, you know, having it, like, on a blog somewhere, or, like, just they're, like, floating out in the internet in the void. And you have to go, like, search them up.
Yeah, I have a bookmark folder that literally, there's, like, a folder within the folder that's full of folders that are all just different painters. So I go through that sometimes, but it's kind of a pain in the ass because...
Yeah, that's what I discovered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to do that too. Like, I would either, like, put stuff on a blog, or I'd like pull the JPEGs and then try and put them in a folder, and it's like, this is too complicated.
Yeah.
Like, I can't hold this all in my mind. So the PDF thing I've discovered just works really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've started just doing that. But yeah, I'll definitely send you some.
Yeah.
Because they're really nice to have. And you can also add to them at any time. Like, you find new art, you just kind of drag it in, and then it's like, oh, there, you know, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You just increase your collection. All right.
Well,
did you have one cool thing that you wanted to touch on?
I do, and it's a film director. Denise, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. I think he's French-Canadian, so his name is very
Villeneuve?
French. Yeah, Denise Villeneuve. He's going to be working on the new Dune movies.
Oh, no.
It's going to be... I'm not sure if it's going to be amazing or not, but he's had a really solid track record, especially when it comes to sci-fi recently. So
I did not know that he was going to direct the new Dune movie.
Yeah, he's making apparently two of them.
Okay.
So I'm, you know, I'm more hopeful than I've ever been for Dune when it comes to adapting it. Because, I mean, you know, Jodorowsky tried to, and he... You know, he couldn't even finish it. Like, cause
he was thinking beyond the scope of what was capable at the time.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Jodorowsky and then David Lynch, like, I don't even...
We don't talk about that,
except for the cool practical effect. What was it called again? The pilots or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those are cool. But, so, anyways... I'm kind of looking forward to it because he did Blade Runner 2049, which was amazing, and he did Arrival, which was great, and...
Yeah, it was.
And there's, like, you know, these aren't strictly sci-fi as much, but Sicario, Enemy, and Prisoners are all really good movies. Mm-hmm. He's just, like, really good, and he's really great visually, so... I'm anticipatory...
cautiously hopeful.
Yeah, I don't even want to say cautiously hopeful. I'm just anticipating it, you know?
Yeah,
I'm going.
You're just ready.
I'm just ready to see what it is. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I'm excited that he's working on, like, of any film director modernly to be working on this, it feels right.
He was the best of all the choices available.
Yeah, he feels right for it. Yeah. So, it's going to be very interesting to see. I have no idea when it's going to come out, but I've been thinking about that for the past couple months because I've known about it for a couple months.
Interesting. Yeah, I had not heard about this. Well, it's time to go reread Dune.
I know, right? I'm in the middle of it right now.
I'm going to start now so I can be done by the time the film comes out.
It's going to take you that long.
Who knows?
Actually, you know, I keep taking breaks. Like, I'm, like, halfway through, and I just haven't read it in, like, a week.
So. God, it's one of those books that you can't really sit through the whole thing at once.
Yeah, yeah, you need to take some time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for that.
Yep.
Hopefully that goes well. Let's see, is there anything else? No announcements? I think we're good.
Yeah.
Let's see, you can find us on iTunes and also on YouTube. Leave us a star rating in iTunes. You know, I've started actually getting emails from people who find, like, would you like to promote your podcast so-and-so-and-so? and I was like, I usually ignore them because I bet they're bots, but I actually got one that was a real person that I just ignored, and then she, like, emailed me again, like, hi, like, are you... Just wanted to follow up. Like, are you interested in promoting Negative Spin? She, like, used the actual name of the podcast. I was like, oh man. A person.
A person. A person.
God.
Interesting.
So, give us a star rating on iTunes so that we can exist in the iTunes store, I guess.
So we can continue to survive
within
the online space.
Very quietly.
Very, very silently.
Listened to only by our friends, but you know,
we love them. We love our friends.
We do this for fun. So, yep. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at negspacepodcast@gmail.com. And that's all for today.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you sooner than the next time we record this, probably. But I'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.